Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Before we begin this morning, I was reminded last week that we did not make mention of Memorial Day. And I do apologize for that. So we want to honor our veterans. So if we have any veterans here this morning, would you please stand up? If you're able. Amen. Amen. So we want to thank you for your service. I know some, I don't know what the exact count of years, but 1944, today is the Memorial Day of D-Day, when our fine fighting soldiers landed in Europe and Normandy to liberate us from fascism and the Nazis, and also later on from the Japanese Imperial armies. So we are thankful for that. We want to honor our soldiers. We want to remember them. We do have a great nation. We have slidden into sin. We recognize that, and that's a great humility to us, and we need to go to God and ask Him for mercy. But we are a great nation. God has tremendously blessed us, and we are thankful. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll open up the text this morning. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for these soldiers that, and airmen and sailors that have, and Marines that have fought for this nation, that we might be free, that we might have an opportunity to preach the gospel freely and to express our opinions and defend ourselves. Lord, we are thankful. Bless these men and women. May your great blessings and mercies be upon them. Have mercy upon this nation. Lord, we've strayed from you. We recognize this. We confess our sins. Lord, we've done terrible and wicked things. Oh God, for the name of Christ, have mercy upon us and this nation. Bless us this day. Bless this church. May your name be honored and glorified. We ask it in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read in Deuteronomy chapter 10, I want to read from verse 17 this morning. And the Bible says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor maketh nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, and hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God had made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude." Wow. So I want to talk about this great God and the influence he has had in our lives. First of all, it does say in this text, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." He is a great God. What God compares to our God? There is no comparison, because there is no other God. But the gods of men and that men have imagined in their minds and hearts throughout history, there's no comparison. And the great wickedness that Israel did after seeing the mighty and terrible deeds of the Lord, and then after Moses was in the mount for 40 days, they called upon themselves to make another god, a bullock. There's no comparison. You're going to take the God that delivered them from the armies of Egypt and delivered them on dry ground through the Red Sea and did all those mighty deeds and terrible things that happened in Egypt, and you're going to compare that great God, that mighty God, to a bullock that you've made out of your earrings? There's no comparison. There's no comparison. How does Baal and Molech compare to our great God? How does the gods of, of Greece, the Zeus and Jupiter, Poseidon and Neptune, and Hades and Pluto compare to our great God? There's no comparison. How about the gods of the Romans, Diana? We read it in Acts where they were shouting to the great goddess Diana and Mars and Venus. How do these gods compare to our great God? There is no comparison. There is no comparison. The gods of men are but manufactured out of logs and gold and silver. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have feet, but they do not walk. They cannot do anything for your life. Now, men have become afraid of these gods. And amazingly, people, women, have sacrificed their children to these gods. And they have sacrificed lives to their gods that were nothing but molten images that they were created, the imagination of men's hearts. They were not, these gods were not creators. They could not speak the earth into existence. They could not create life as our God has done. They could not preserve life as our God has done. They could not save souls as our God has done. He is indeed a great God. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Our God has done wonders. Has he done wonders in your life? Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Our God has done some great things. I was reading, and I'm not going to go over, I've been watching the University of YouTube and observing, yeah, there you go, somebody caught it, observing the great wonders, because they do have some interesting things on there. Man has made a submergible vessel that can go down 6 miles into the bottom of the ocean. The fact that the ocean could be 6 miles deep is wonderful because God created that. You know, that's a lot of water. That's a lot of water. And they have to make these machines because there is tremendous pressure when you get that deep in water. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. And the fact that these machines that man has made do not compress under that pressure is amazing. But what's amazing is when they look outside of that submergible and they put the lights on, there are living creatures. Living creatures swimming around at this great depth. That is amazing. Now, some of them creatures are kind of scary looking. But it is amazing that there are living creatures there. Our God created those. The multiplicity of variety in the creatures that are found on our planet Earth is amazing. And God spoke that into existence. That is a mighty God. Amen. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord, it says in Psalms 89. Who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? There is none. And this is very troubling because so many religions, even amongst the various sects of Christianity, calling themselves Christians and then making gods out of the saints. This is a terrible, because there's no comparison. Who can compare of all the mighty beings in heaven, who can compare unto our God? Who are we going to call up? Are we going to call up Michael, the angel, the archangel? Are we going to call Gabriel? We're going to call Mary? Who are we going to call? Who's going to compare to our God? There is no comparison. Even amongst the greatest men of our history, there's no comparison in comparing them to our God. Our God is a mighty God. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He is indeed a mighty God. But he does use a phrase there in that text in verse 17. He says, for the Lord your God. For the Lord your God. I've dealt with people, I won't say around the world, but in various parts of the world, in Europe and Mexico and Canada and throughout these United States, that would say, yes, there is a God, or Jesus is the Savior of the world. But there's a difference between making a statement that yes, there is a God, or that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and then when you change it with the pronoun and you start saying, He's my God, or He's your God, it changes everything in the world. Because when He becomes your God, then that's personal. And as long as people can have a distant God that has no influence in their life, that can be called upon in case of emergency, like some of our elderly brethren, they have a little button. If they fall, they can push the button, and their emergency crews will respond. Many people want a God like that. They can just carry on their hip, and if they need Him, they can push the button in case of emergency. But as far as their everyday life, they don't want God meddling with their business. And this is why we have people that say they don't believe in God, because they don't want God messing with their life. Which is really a ridiculous kind of statement. You don't want God messing your life? All right, He'll withdraw the air that He gave you. How's that going to go? All right, He'll withdraw the food that He gave you. How's that going to go? He'll withdraw the protection that He's given you and the allowance of giving you life. What if He withdraw that? God is in your life, whether you recognize it or not. The fact that you're still breathing is because there is a God. The fact that you're able to find food and eat is because there is a God. And you are very ungrateful in eating 3-4 times a day and not thanking that great and mighty God that has put food on your table. It wasn't General Mills that put food on your table. It wasn't Campbell's Soup, or well, I don't know what the company's now. Campbell's. Can you help me? So, you people that do shopping, would you tell me what the companies are? Dole, I don't know what they are. It wasn't the food companies that put food on your table. It was God. Amen. And if it wasn't for God, there would be no harvest. Amen. You can't, as Brother Bill has mentioned, you cannot invent food. You can cook it, but you can't invent it. You can't make food in a factory. It's God that gives us our food. And I will admit that some people destroy God's creation by making it sour, as in kraut. You had good cabbage and then you let it spoil. You know, not sure that was God's intent. I said that one time in Poland, because Poland is a nation that loves sauerkraut. They call it kapusta. It's kaput, is what I say. But one of the first things I mention when I preach in a new place is, do not spoil that which God created. Don't be putting God's creation in a barrel and allowing it to rot, because that's of the devil. And so I had said that one time in Torun, which we had preached for a number of years, and a dear brother had invited us. In fact, he rented us his apartment, his former apartment, and we had a place to stay. And so he invited us, and I was preaching at his church when we first got over there, and I had made just that statement. And so we went, he invited Janice and I over for dinner, and we got to his home, and as soon as we opened the door, I could smell the kapusta. Well, he went in first and told us, we haven't met his wife. His wife wasn't a Christian, wasn't a believer yet. She was a faithful wife. She was a good woman, but she wasn't a believer, and she was making a meal for Janice and I. We were coming over, and he went in there and said, Brent says that kapusta is of the devil. And here she had been cooking this sauerkraut, you know, preparing the meal, and she just took it off the stove and put peas on the stove in place of course, I don't like peas either, but the peas were a whole lot better than a kapusta. So you have to watch what you're saying. But the point is, God has given us our daily bread, and we ought to be thankful for it. Sometimes it's hard because the person that prepares it to be thankful, but we still need to be thankful. It says there's none in heaven to be compared unto our Lord. Do you realize that our God, when they asked Him what His name is, He said, my name is Jealous. Do you remember that? You ought to look at it because I'll give you the verse. It's over in Exodus chapter 34. Just look at it because I know some people will knock on your door sometime and ask you, what is the name of God? And when you tell them this, it really throws them for a loop. They'll say, do you know the name of God? Yes, I do. Well, what's his name? Jealous. And then there's that awkward silence because they were expecting another word that begins with J. They were expecting maybe Jehovah, which is true also, but his name is Jealous. Look what it says in verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God, and rightly so. Because he's the only God, and who are you fornicating and committing adultery with other gods? And that's a sermon itself. I want to talk about this great God. If you ever got to know him, you wouldn't commit adultery with him. If you ever got to know him, you would not commit whoredoms with other gods. Because he's a great God and he does great things. Look in Job chapter 5 and verse 6. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Amen. Who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields. Did you ever think about the raindrops that come dropping down on your head? The water that's provided, the frost that's provided, the snow that's provided, the things that we just take for granted. Who do you think is doing that? It's amazing how we take for things. Did you know you came in here, you did not have to pull a chair out of a closet. Somebody made preparation. Some of you are going to go home and your wife's already got the food cooking on there in the crock pot and everything's being prepared for you and you sit down at a table. Somebody prepared that for you. And the point is that God has already prepared so much for us, and what he has prepared is marvelous and wonderless, and it's unsearchable. We could spend a lifetime just recounting the things that God has done. In fact, we could spend a lifetime just talking about and trying to name and number the various insects that God has created. Janice and I recently bought a home, and I've gone back into the backyard and just sat down during a break, and just amazing at how many insects can flutter around you. Some of them are biting. And you get up and you look, wow, look at all these things got a hold of me. All different types of ants, gnats, and whatnot. He doeth great and wondrous things. Look at Job chapter 37 and verse 5. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. As I told you, I went to the University of YouTube and I was watching some of the things that are just inexplicable. Words cannot even describe the things that God has created. Simply amazing. He doeth great and wondrous things. Psalm 126 and verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Joel chapter 2 and verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And reading these verses, I noticed something, that God is doing great things. God has done great things, and God will do great things. He is the I Am. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. This is a great God. He is not only doing, he has done. He is not only has done, he will do. This is a great God. And then what it says here in Psalm 126, verse 3, he had done great things, and here we are again, for us. Do you know one of the great commandments, the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind and all thy heart and all thy soul. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you realize how selfish you and I are that we do not remember our neighbors? We do not love our neighbors. And this is our nature. It's not in us to naturally love somebody. We are commanded to do this. And I bring this up because it is an amazing thing to realize that this great and mighty God loves us. God does not have an obligation to love you. He made a choice. He chose to love you and I. And that is amazing in itself. That is unsearchable in itself. To think that God loved us. Look at the gods of the world. You don't hear about love in those gods. If you don't pitch your firstborn or your twin into the river, this God is going to be angry with you. If you don't burn your living widow with your body, this God is going to be angry with you. If you don't sacrifice enough human hearts and human blood, this God is going to be angry with you. But our God gave His only begotten Son for us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Do you feel your heart getting cold and backslidden? We sing a song, Count Your Many Blessings. And that's really a fulfillment of what this admonition here is. Consider how many great things God has done for you, and that ought to revive your soul. And just thinking what God has done, can you number them? Can you sit down and just put it on a piece of paper, what God has done for you? The fact that you woke up this morning, God did that for you. The fact that you pulled the shades down and the sun began shining in, God did that for you. The fact that as I mentioned earlier, you're able to breathe, God did that for you. The fact you could go to the kitchen table and sit down and eat a meal, God did that for you. The fact that you have a job and are able to go to it, God did that for you. The fact that you're still relatively healthy, God did that for you. Consider how great things He had done for you. Mary said, for He is mighty. He that is mighty had done for to me great things, and holy His name. Think about the miracles in your life that God has done for you, has done for you, is doing for you, and will continue to do for you. Amen. Joel chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil. What kind of God is this that is kind? Can you think of all the gods of the world that man has imagined in his heart, and can you find a kind God? His great kindness, His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 145 and verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. You and I have neglected this God. You and I have provoked this God to jealousy. You and I have ignored this great God, this God that has poured out His mercies every morning and given us mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace, kindness upon kindness, who's blessed us that we can't count the blessings. And we've ignored Him and neglected Him and sometimes even outright rejected Him. And yet there He is offering us mercy. All the things that God has done for us. It's simply amazing what He's done for us. And how it is we can get so cold and indifferent and backslidden that we forget what this mighty God has done for us. Look in John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus went into Samaria and sat down. The disciples went in to purchase food. Then Jesus sat at a well, and the women came to draw from the well, and we have this conversation. I pick it up in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and let me remind you, every good gift cometh from the Father of lights above. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And there is a question in this conversation. Jesus offering this woman living water, and I'm going to return to that in just a moment, but I want to address a question that she asked, and so many times it comes up, it just bewilders me that we could even ask this question of our Lord. Are thou greater than our father Jacob? Are you greater than our traditions? Are you greater than the gods that we have made? Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Are you greater than the one that gave us this well? Oh, yes, he is. He's the one that created that well. He is the one that provided that well. And if it wasn't for him, Jacob would never have found the well. Yes, he is greater. Are you greater than the temple? Yes, a greater than the temple is here. Are you greater than our tradition, our gods? Yes, he is greater. He is a mighty God. He is the God of gods. And the Lord of Lords. Jesus said, a greater than Jonah is here. And that's pretty great. That's pretty great. Let me pause here because I want to tell you about a great message. And in this particular passage in John chapter 4 is some great truths. If you look at it again with me, Jesus makes a statement and he makes it very clear how you can have everlasting life. How you can draw from waters that have no end. They're eternal. They're everlasting. He asks the question, if thou knewest the gift of God, do you know the gift of God? That God gives gifts, and the greatest gift that he ever gave was his son. And he gave them to you and I. If you knew the gift of God, because this is the difference between our God and the false gods of religion. Our God is a giving God. The gods of religion is a God that pays faithful employees, if they are faithful. If you are good enough, you might earn salvation. Our God says, you're not good enough, there's none good, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and despite that, I've loved you, and I've given you my son, and if you knew the gift of God, if you only knew that, do you know that it's a gift? Salvation is a gift. It's not a wage. It's not something that you could earn or deserve. And this is the difference. The salvation that our God, our great and mighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us eternal life. It's a gift that we can receive. If thou knewest the gift of God, not only the gift of God, but who it is that says unto thee, give me to drink. If you knew him, this is the problem. You can know of the gift, but do you know the giver? Do you know him? Many a times I've gotten an article, I pulled something out of the mailbox that said, free gift. Come at between 9 and 1 on Saturday, and when you get there, you find out it's not free, that you gotta buy something first, or you traveled, Janice and I in our younger years, we'd travel all over the state of Texas because somebody says you're gonna get a free whatever. A free toaster, a free portable TV, a free whatever, and we would travel, and you know, it wasn't free. We'd have to sit through a lesson for you know, or through a lecture for 3.5 hours. Yeah, that wasn't free. It was a long way to get there, and then 3.5 hours of my time, and we got a toaster that didn't work. But it was free. Yeah. So not only do we have to know the gift, if you knew the gift of God, but we know it need to know the giver. If you know those two things, that is a great strive, but that's not salvation yet. It isn't sufficient just to know that it exists. It isn't sufficient just to know who's giving the gift. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. You have to ask, but you have to ask him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is an exclusive God, a jealous God. He says, I am thy creator. I am the Lord of lords. I am the God of gods. There is no other God. Who compares unto me? And if you want his salvation, he says, come to me. There's no other way. It isn't every man has his own choice. It isn't all roads lead to heaven. It's only Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He says, come unto me. But art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well? Oh yes, he's greater. He's greater than the temple. Jesus said, I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. He's given us greater things. He is, has a greater witness. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so you would say, I don't believe it, and then that leaves me with the question, who am I to believe? Am I to call you a liar, or am I to call God a liar? Well, we already know the answer to that one. Yeah, God is not a liar. He is a God that cannot lie. He himself is truth. Every utterance is true. And so when the choice is made between what you believe and what God has stated, guess who's going to be the liar? Amen. It ain't going to be God. Amen. No greater love had no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. We have such a great God. Not only does he give us salvation, not only does he give us our life and sustains us on a daily basis, on a moment by moment basis, on a second by second. Can we break down seconds? Every moment of time, God sustains us. This is the blessings of our great God. He is indeed a great God and deserving and worthy of praise. And he gives us everlasting life. And he tells us as believers, how many times have our hearts condemned us? I tell you what, he's greater than our hearts. Amen. This is a great God. Amen. Now closing, I would like to look in Mark chapter 5, because there was a man possessed with devils. And Jesus went there and he healed him. Just as he healed the blind man, just as he healed the lepers, just as he healed those that had various diseases, he healed them. Just as he raised the dead, just as he given life to people, Jesus is a healer and he healed people. He comes unto this man and delivers him from this legion of demons. And here's what Jesus tells him down in verse 19. He came into the boat, and the young man wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and they began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And I want to close this morning, brethren, with this thought. You and I are witnesses this morning, and he's given us a greater witness in Christ Jesus, a greater witness than the testimony of man. We have his very words. He's been influential in our lives. He saved us. We know it. He's given to us eternal life. We've drunk from the wells of everlasting waters. He's given us that life everlasting. And his command to us is go home and tell thy friends what great things God had done for thee. We had an opportunity to begin evangelism yesterday, and I'm so thankful for so many people that came out. We had 12 or 13 people that came out for evangelism. We gathered here at 9 o'clock, we stuffed some bags, and we went out and we began to cover different areas. And I'm thankful for all those that come. I want to encourage some of you young people as well, because we had a bunch of old timers yesterday. Yeah, it was getting a little bit tiresome going up and down some of them hills and some of them houses that had these big porches, and it just, you know, a lot of sweat. So I would like to encourage you to come out as well. We're going to do this every first Saturday of the month. We're going to spend about two and a half hours on a Saturday morning. If you can come out and give your time, it's an opportunity for you to spread the gospel, the great news of salvation. Jesus tells this young man, he says, I want you to go home. He didn't say, I want you to go to Poland. He didn't say, I want you to go to Mexico. He didn't say, I want you to go over here. I just want you to go home, and I want you to tell your friends what great things God has done for you. I was interviewed recently by Michael Jackson, and he asked me, what is the most effective form of evangelism? I tell you what it is. It's right here. Go home and tell your friends what great things God has done for you. Because they know you. And I don't know if you grasp what was going on here. These friends had already tried to help this man possessed with a demon. They thought they could help him by putting chains on him. They'd just chain him up and put him in a cave somewhere, get him out of their lives because he was bothering. They realized that their own religion was dead and could not help this man. And then when he goes home to them and tells them what great things God has done and what actually happened, he goes home and says, Jesus did this for me. And that, my friend, is a great witness. You say you don't believe in God, how do you explain what Jesus did for me? You say God doesn't exist, well, how can you explain the fact that I just had a conversation with him this morning? Jesus did great things in my life. Has Jesus done great things in your life? Then go home and tell thy friends what great things God had done for thee. We have an opportunity to evangelize this great city of ours. Let's take a part in that. Let's do what we can. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. How great thou art, O Lord. We are thankful for the great gift you've given us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for life that you've given to us. We thank you for We thank you for your abundant mercies that you've given to us. All the blessings that you've given to us, we're thankful. I pray that you bless each and every one of us this morning. And if there's a person within the sound of my voice that has not known you, not reached out to you, not saved yet, I pray that you would save them and change their lives so that they can go home and tell their friends what great things God has done for us. Have mercy upon each and every one of us. Bless us this day as we come back tonight in remembrance of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.